Hello and welcome to the After Sermon Podcast. This is a podcast put on by Bethany Church every week to help us dive deeper into the messages that we're bringing as a part of our worship services every week, to help go deeper into God's Word, and also to help challenge us to better discuss it and study it together as a community. And so we're glad you're joining us today. Joined in a part of this time is Bill Leonardson. Bill joined us for the first time a few weeks ago, and actually maybe by the time you're watching this, Bill probably either is about to be or will be affirmed as one of our new elders, which we are greatly, greatly excited about and encouraged about. I love this guy. And so this is a great opportunity to help get to know him, hoping to have other elders on this in the future. But also special guest is my wife.
Very special.
Very special guest. Very special. Amy and Tammy is out this week. And so it was kind of last minute. So Amy agreed to come on, which is great. And so we're looking forward to this because and these two are great, especially Amy, for this one, because this week, as we're going into John chapter 4, we're going to a story that I think for a lot of, at least if you've grown up in the church, it's one of those more common ones. Billy kind of mentioned last week how John 3, story of Nicodemus, is one that's known by most people in the church. And I would probably go with John 4, the story of the woman at the well, is a really common story known by a lot of people. And I know that we were talking earlier, it's a story that's close to your guys' heart as well.
Absolutely.
And so as we kind of get into this today, one of the things that I think would be good for us to kind of debrief a little bit, because I think to really understand this whole story, it's in those first couple of verses to understand the context of where Jesus is going into. And I'll mention this in the message, but I'd love to kind of unpack this a little bit because I think there's so much application just in this alone. You can do a whole message just on this idea of what was happening is the fact that Jesus was going to Samaria, where no Jew went, to a group of people. And I'll mention this in the message. They were such at odds with each other. The Jews saw the Samaritans as the great false teachers that perverted Judaism and turned it into this entirely evil, false religion, to the point where actually 120 years before this, the Jews went in and marched into Samaria and destroyed their temple where they were worshiping and created obviously this huge conflict there. And then Jesus is sitting down and talking with this woman who we see in the story, which in fact is a woman alone in Jesus' context, again, from a whole Jewish religious faith standpoint, never should have done. And now he's talking to a woman that in this city where he is a complete outcast because she's one of the great ones living in great sin, more, and I'm going to put in quotes, more than everyone else. And so just to understand this tension, what does it tell us about Jesus? The fact that he would go where no one else went. I think the thing that jumped out to me, I'd like to get you guys feedback on this, is truthfully, Jesus would have probably received a ton of ridicule for doing this. This would have been from the Jewish people who he was coming to, would have been something that said, well, clearly he's not a man of God. Because a good Jewish man of God would never go to Samaria and never sit down and talk with a woman at the well. And that, it makes me ask the question, we don't have our Samaritans, but what is our Samaritans or our Samaria in our own world today and in our Christian world?
Well, first of all, I want to say that, that Christ perhaps would have faced ridicule for going into, I had an old boss once and he always talked about the alignment of all things bad. Okay. This was the alignment of all things bad. Absolutely. We hate the Samaritans. I'm talking to a woman of ill repute. And you said Christ may have faced ridicule for this, which to me is kind of a humor. To me, it's like he would have faced significant criticism, which has a degree of the your critics always come across as having from a position of truth. And by the fact that Christ did this, I think what he was communicating was, you do not know what truth is. This is the truth. This is the way we're supposed to be as believers.
He's challenging what they have said as morally right.
He's challenging what we would call. I mean, a couple of weeks ago when I did this, we talked about the word supernatural.
Right. Yeah.
He's challenging taboos.
Oh yeah.
You know, those things that his culture said, you can't do these things. These mm-hmm. things are not right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, what I think of is if he'd done this today, can you imagine all the blogs and Christian articles?
Oh, and the cancel society.
Yes, that would have gotten written, yeah. telling all the Christians, yeah. don't follow Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah, look yeah. what he's doing. Yeah, yeah. Look okay. at the people he's going to go yeah, yeah, minister
yeah,
to.
Yeah.
And I, man, yeah. that like, because that's what I feel like I hear when I hear yeah. you saying that. That's yeah. where my brain goes today. That's how yeah. we do that yeah. today.
And I think your question, and I know you want to get into the Samaria part, but you said, what does this tell us about Jesus? And yes, as you were good. Saying that, he knows who he is. So mm. I think that when you were saying that, I was like, Jesus knows who he is. He's the Son of God. He is God, you know, like, so he knows who he is. He's not going to let anybody tell him that. He knows his heart. Mm-hmm. He says, I do what I see the Father do. Mm-hmm. And so he's following his Father in his actions, and he's grounded. He knows what his ministry is. And so I think we can take from that, you know, like, we don't have to worry about the criticism of man. We know, you know, when we're acting in the will of God, that we can go forward, and we do learn some things about how he does things, which we, I think, mm-hmm. might yeah, touch yeah, on as mm-hmm. well. But so that was when you were saying that, I was like, he knows who he is. He knows what his heart. So he doesn't have to worry about who tells him he should or shouldn't be doing it.
And with that, I think of not only does he know who he is, with that, he knows his mission.
Exactly.
And in that, he has no fear of man.
Yeah.
He only fears God.
Mm-hmm. And, exactly.
And verse 4, it uses the phrase, he had to travel through Samaria.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. any Jew reading that would have yeah. known he didn't have to right. because the rest of them didn't do it.
Yeah.
Now, it was a pretty direct route, but they went around it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's the had?
He yeah. was commanded by God, yeah. most likely.
It's God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's God saying mm-hmm. you have to go do.
This was mm-hmm. his path.
What mm-hmm. your own faith-based people in my name are going to criticize you mm-hmm. for.
So, yep. But I want to go back to what you talked about, criticism. So
yeah.
Christ is willing to face the criticism. Yes. Why aren't we?
Right. Exactly. That's what that while he was talking about, what does that tell us about Christ? I was feeling conviction, literally, like he knows who he is. Mm-hmm. He's not worried about it. And he says, fear not, fear not, fear not. He wasn't afraid to go into Samaria. He wasn't afraid to talk to the woman. He wasn't afraid of what people would think or say. He obviously knew he was going to face ridicule much more before his death, obviously. I don't know.
Well, I think you're speaking to our insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. that's really what you're... I know you, Bill. That's where mm-hmm. you're going, isn't it? Yeah.
yeah.
You're going to...
We yield to mm-hmm. the criticism from exactly. those around us. And
mm-hmm.
I can speak for a very long time about,
ditto.
About yielding.
Ditto.
And some of those that are listening to us probably can mm-hmm. do the same thing. How often do we equivocate?
Yes.
Do we pull back?
And there's even things in a message like this, depending on how hard you want to really push the challenge, that I can tell you in our own Christian culture, even reading some other people, pastors writing about this or preaching on it, that in my mind, there's a story I'll share on Sunday, and I'm going to hold that because I want to hold it for Sunday. But that how to share it, I had this fear of how people would respond mm-hmm. to the story. I'm like, this to me is one of the greatest stories mm-hmm. of how people took the heart of Jesus and go into the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
But yet at the same time, mm-hmm. I was even hesitant on how to share it out of fear of response.
Mm-hmm.
But yet to me, it was a beautiful testimony of Jesus. And if I'm even afraid to say it, how much more might I have been afraid to do it? Yeah, well, some of them, you know, I'm glad to hear that. But Bill, you had a similar story to that I wanted you to share too, because
a couple of years ago, I mean, it was revolutionary for me was a book I read called God Space. I think the guy's name was, I think his first name was Don Pollack. If I have the story right, he used to work or still works for Athletes in Action, and he teaches about how to share God, how to have that God space, that environment mm-hmm. where you can share. And he tells a story right at the opening of the book about going to a church and speaking about evangelism and speaking about how to I'll say it this way, to share the gospel, maybe without sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so he's talking about after the service, he's going to go to a bar and share Christ. Mm-hmm. And when he, of course, when he says share Christ, he's talking about trying to elicit some conversation mm-hmm. with people, you know. And
kind of like Jesus did in the story.
Yeah. Great point. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus is going to share himself.
Yeah. And Jesus starts with some random conversation about water.
Yeah. You know, can to I have, get a, this can going. I have yeah. a drink? Well, that's what Paula yeah. kind of
anyway,
does.
Keep going. Have a drink.
So he tells the congregation he's going to go to the bar after the service and just wonders if there's anybody volunteers. Oh. Oh. And he volunteers.
Interesting.
And he concludes that by saying, well, the pastor and his wife went, but I think it was out of guilt. You know, so just that reluctance to go into Samaria mm-hmm. and talk to the woman at the mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what he was inviting him to do. Mm-hmm. And it's intimidating. Mm-hmm. And what was revolutionary for me was to learn some techniques yeah. and to learn how to do that mm-hmm. without being, do you know the four spiritual laws?
Yeah. Yeah. And what's intimidating with that, and you can correct me because you read the whole book, but I think we're more hesitant to enter that mission field, to go to that Samaria because of the person. If I would raise my hand, what's the person in that same row of chairs thinking about my willingness to go to somewhere that group of people may have mm-hmm. called taboo, mm-hmm. would have mm-hmm. called wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't inviting people to go get drunk. Yeah. He wasn't inviting yeah. people to go party and drink. Yeah. Inviting, would you like to go to a place where that might be happening to minister and share Jesus with the people that need him right there in that yeah. moment?
Mm-hmm. Well, in our culture today, going to a bar is relatively safe.
Oh,
if
yeah.
I can say
in
that
lacrosse?
Way. There's I don't mean physical safety. Yeah. I mean just safety from criticism and
right.
ridicule
exactly.
or judgment. There's lots worse places we can go as believers yeah. to share Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Which actually, again, we talked a little bit about some of our thoughts on this, but when you were again talking about Samaria and it being like a perversed sect of mm-hmm. Judaism.
Yeah.
So then it made me think of when the Mormons or the Jehovah Witnesses or the people come, you know, some, and again, David, you do a really nice job with this. You have relationship. I mean, so they know you by name, you know them by name. And I know there's scripture to what you should and shouldn't do also, but, you know, the occult and mm-hmm. and dealing with that, Wiccan, there's so many different things. But getting to know those, I mean, I will confess there's a little bit of fear when I'm thinking mm-hmm. spiritual, you know, you're a spiritual warfare, but so those types of things yeah. like going into those cultures and getting to know those people. And
so I think as we unpack this, you know, one of the things of grow groups to talk about, or even however you're gathering right now and talking about the message, mm-hmm. what is that Samaria?
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
just ask yourself that question. What mm-hmm. is that place that maybe you're afraid to go. Mm-hmm. Maybe even just ask a question like, but if I went, I might be afraid of what others might think if mm-hmm. I go. And yeah. why is that? And is that because of who Jesus is? Because if we looked at John, we said, point is, John wrote this. He wants us to see who Jesus is and mm-hmm. believe that. And then see what Jesus does and follow that.
Mm-hmm.
So believe in him and then do what mm-hmm. he did. And so is it because of who Jesus is that we're afraid? Or is it because of who others are?
Yeah. No, because of who we are.
Right. And ooh. and so how,
because sometimes my Samaria is the next door neighbor.
Mm.
It's not an unfamiliar environment. It's not an unfriendly environment. So I think those are things that.
But you don't want it to become unfriendly if you cross those.
I mean, that's one of the fears.
Yeah.
If I go over there
like,
and all of a sudden
people like me
Jesus,
now. Mm-hmm.
They may not like me to be their neighbor
yeah.
anymore. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We can. Yeah, so far, mm-hmm. Most of our neighbors are okay with us.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, but, you know, like, you know, we're only about four or five houses down so far.
Yeah.
So, our dog Chandler really does most of the outreach for us.
Yeah.
I think that's a legitimate fear.
But even
in a good way.
In that regard, our 7-year-old son is is struggling a little bit.
Because
he's in the public school and he wants to share Jesus with everybody, but it might be isolating him a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, yeah,
that's he was in tears summer. Recently, I know. Even about that. And so,
I need to cry.
No. Okay. So then there's that piece, and then I think the next really heavy piece in this message is, all right, so now we're willing to go to Samaria, but now how do we see the Samaritans? Because, you know, it's easy to look at this story. Once Jesus opens up the door, you know, the woman's having this conversation with him. He goes into verse 16 and he says, okay, go call your husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. He's like, well, you answered correctly. You don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands, and the man you're with now, the one you're intimate with, the one you're in relation with now, well, he's not even your husband. And he just really quickly in this, in a way that blows my mind even, just rips off this band-aid, as it were, of, okay, we're having this conversation. Let's get real right now. And it may not be hard to tell people, I think Jesus rocks and that I think you should know Jesus. But in order to share good news,
there's bad news.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus is beginning to open that up. And I will admit, when I read this, and I often read this in my flesh with, I put a tone in Jesus. I realize I put a tone in Jesus that I would not, which is why I'm uncomfortable with it, that I would not want. Like, all right, go call your husband. I don't have a husband. Yeah, you don't. Yeah, because I know. Yeah, because you got like five of them. And the one you're with now isn't your husband. So yeah, you're right. Yeah. And I put this judgmental tone, not because, but I know that's not who Jesus is. So why is it that I put that tone there? And it's because this is talking about sin is scarier than going and talking about Jesus. Can we own that a little bit? Like, I don't mind telling people about Jesus because he's awesome. He's amazing. But then when I have to talk about the fact that I need Jesus because of sin.
Yeah. You know, that's that, almost me, how we harder. Get prosperity gospel. We love to tell people all the good things of being a follower of Christ. You know, you have someone there with you. But yeah, we don't want to say, well, there's some things that we don't really prescribe to when we follow Jesus.
Well, the way you say it, though.
I know.
The way you say rips the band-aid off.
Okay. Well, that's all feels so to me. Yeah,
I know. Yeah. So you have a mindset there that's the ripping off, and I look at your tone and your facial expressions as you say that. And as I talked about before we were recording today, is that the tone in the scripture seems abrupt.
Yeah.
But I got to believe there's more conversation than what John wrote here.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I think of, when I think of that, Jesus saying, gently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Can you go get your husband?
Yeah.
And she responds, I don't have a husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right. You don't. You've had five husbands.
Yeah. I think
this is how Jesus is coming.
Mm. Yeah.
You had that. And what's not recorded here, which I can easily imagine Christ saying, that must be hard. You know, because he knows her thoughts. You go back, I think of the scripture where Christ withdrew because he knew what was in men's hearts. Okay, so we know from that Christ knows man's heart. Christ knew this woman's heart. And I think he knew that she was ashamed and she was embarrassed. And that wasn't a lifestyle that she chose. But he came, the scripture makes it look abrupt.
I'm getting into trouble here, though.
But I got to believe, knowing the nature of Christ, and as we talked earlier today about take my yoke, I am gentle. And I got to believe Christ approached her like that. So when he approaches her like that, then she's not ashamed. I think she sees a man who cares. So she's
the fruit
not
of that
she's
comes
not
later
ashamed.
On the story.
Yes. She's not embarrassed. She's not angry. We're having a real conversation that, unfortunately, in our culture, a lot of times we don't have, because I like to say, oftentimes it's easier to lecture than it is to love.
So And that's what another thing that I was thinking when you're saying, how did Jesus approach this? I remember, I don't know if you remember, but I wrote a blog post many years ago, Jesus didn't carry a picket sign. Because when I see people with picket signs, I think, I don't know that there's any fruit from that at all. And having actually experienced something that people hold picket signs for, that I feel like I've dealt with the Lord and am forgiven and redeemed. But when I see people with picket signs, I feel shame and hatred, and still to this day, so many decades removed. And so I think the thing with Jesus is he's relational. He doesn't just take a stance on a sin or a, he personalizes, he's relational and he's talking with the woman and he's not talking about what, he's not talking about the law. And he's not talking about what's right or wrong. He's just having, he's building a relationship with this woman. And then you, he is building that relationship to the point where he can speak in. And he's maybe, like you said, we don't know the whole conversation. We can assume he did it one way or another way, but we do know he's with her face to face and he's not standing at a pulpit saying, this is wrong, that's wrong. A woman at the well, I know you did this. He's personally talking to her and he's not humiliating her publicly or shaming her.
I think, and I'll mention this the Message Sunday, because this is really what jumps out to me is she came when she did at noon. We see that in the first couple of verses when everyone else wasn't at the well,
right?
Because of, very likely she was an outcast because of her sin, shamed. We're making some assumptions here, but pretty understandable assumptions in that. And yet at the same time, I think one of the things that jumps out to me, and I'm going to ask this question, you know, the difference between you and me and the woman at the well? Well, nothing. Nothing. Is the reason she was set apart was not because she, her sin was worse. She was set apart because a group of people had determined that their sin wasn't as bad as hers. And they had decided that that their sin was good enough to all get together and not make her, make them an outcast. But her sin, no, that's now worth casting someone out. And I think, and yet, who was it that Jesus went to? He didn't go to all the ones that... that he went to the one to which everyone else said, you're the worst. And he said, no, but you're the one I'm coming for. And it makes me think of the verse where Jesus said, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. And who did Jesus come for? That verse to me is, talk about blog post, Amy. I think that was one of the first blog posts I wrote a long time ago, was on that verse, because there's so much guilt and shame until I realized that Jesus already knew the depth of my sin. Jesus knew the woman at the well, and that wasn't stopping his outrage. Sometimes I think we think our sin, in the same way she was hiding from people, we hide from God. And we think our sin keeps us from Jesus being willing to come to us. And I think one of the because the way other people talk to us is not like Jesus was. The other people treated her like the outcast. So of course God's going to treat us like the outcast, right? And and so I think that's a big thing, is for how we talk about sin. To even... this is what we're talking about, I think, in our grow groups. Do we talk about sin the way Jesus did?
Right.
Do we talk about it? It's not that we ignore sin. Jesus didn't ignore sin. He brought it up. But how did he talk about it? And what was his end goal? His end goal wasn't to shame her.
His end goal was to restore her.
To me, that changes the entire way we would even have these conversations.
Which I think is what we often, where we... often get off that path of how Jesus would, because we, people's sin offends us sometimes, or it hurts us or wounds us. So we want to point out their sin because there's a little bit of a personal investment there, like how it's affected me. And, but keeping that in mind, and somebody taught me that years ago, and I'm not saying I always do it, but that when you do address an offense or a sin or something with somebody, you're doing it out of love for them to restore them to Christ, not to get it off your chest because they ticked you off or whatever they did. And so, yeah, Jesus's end goal was restoration, to have a relationship with her.
And he does know. We talked about this a couple months ago in Discipleship Pathway. We've talked about this a little bit before, but I think Jesus does know that in order for us to be fully healed, we have to be fully known. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to be fully honest, first with God, mm-hmm. but I think mm-hmm. also with each other. Mm-hmm. The cool part at the end of the story is that she went and testified to mm-hmm. who Jesus was to a bunch of people that only knew her for her sin. Mm-hmm. But Jesus' love was so powerful. Mm-hmm. Jesus' love was so transformational for her that even the people she was ashamed to be around became the people she was willing to go tell about mm-hmm. who Jesus was. To me, that's
the one of the amazing parts of the story mm-hmm. that Christ established that relationship with her so quickly that she was willing to go back to the neighborhood that probably condemned her Absolutely. And ridiculed yeah. her mm-hmm. and to tell them, I've met a prophet and come and see.
Yeah.
A lot of risk there because you don't know when she takes the townspeople back to talk to Christ if her sin's not going to be drug up in front of everybody. But I think oftentimes it's easier for us to address behaviors because they're more organizational, if you will. Concrete. We can do this and do this, and you can't do this, and you can do this and do this. Mm-hmm. And what Christ is about is heart. Is restoring, but he's about redemption. Mm-hmm. That's a lot harder. Mm-hmm. And what did we talk about a couple of weeks ago when I was doing this?
Yeah.
Supernatural.
Yeah. That takes
we're talking about transformation. And mm-hmm. if we keep that, I think, as in the front of our minds and people that we have relationship with, it's not about changing your behavior, but it is about changing your behavior. Mm-hmm. But that behavior comes about because our hearts have been transformed.
Yeah.
And I can't do that.
Right.
I can only kind of assist in the process.
Well, that's kind of where she deflected to herself. You know, she's mm-hmm. like, I see you're a prophet. Yes. And now you see my sin. Well, I don't want to go there right now. So,
absolutely.
So let's talk about how we worship, yeah. right? And you Jews say you're supposed to worship over here in this specific mm-hmm. way. And, you know, we believe we're supposed to worship over here in this specific way.
Intellectual and knowledge based almost.
Yeah.
Like, it's easier to talk about.
And behavioral.
Yeah.
Right? It was who's doing it the right way?
Right. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Christ played that game. He entered into the conversation. He didn't strong arm her back to the conversation about the husband.
Yeah.
He played the game and let that go through.
Yeah.
And of course, we know how that ends.
Well, and his entire focus then is now, well, yeah, you say this and they say that. Yeah. Guess what? You're both missing it.
Yeah.
Because what does he say? It's actually about me.
Yeah.
It's not about what you're doing religiously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's about what I can do for you spiritually. Mm-hmm. It's about Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not about your traditions. It's not about your methodologies.
Worshiping a God you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's so he plays the game and he in the right way, and he has this little mini sermonette, which we don't even have time to unpack or in, you know, this week at all. But he did it to say, but I have this for you, and this is really what you need. And then mm-hmm. she says, well, when the Messiah comes, he's gonna tell us all this. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm right here.
Yeah.
Which that whole conversation is so true to how many of us in this area, especially, it is. I'm Lutheran, I'm Methodist, I'm Catholic, I'm evangelical. We all have been worshiping our whole lives because we grew up in the church with our parents and whatever. Mm. But do we know God? Mm-hmm. And that was very much my story. You know, I grew up in a church and then I went to a different church, and it was, but worshiping the God you know, you worship a God you don't know, but you'll worship a God you know. And so that is where salvation actually occurs, is when you know and you have that relationship like he's talking about.
And Jesus comes back because his disciples are wrestling with all the same stuff mm-hmm. too. They're wrestling with well, this is my doctrine, mm-hmm. or this is my denomination, this is my tradition, this is how we do it. Mm-hmm. And it even says that they came back and like they have all these questions, but they're not gonna actually say it out loud to Jesus, right? And of course he knows what's in their hearts too.
Right.
And the sin that's in their hearts too. Mm-hmm. And he comes back, he says, but don't you know this is God's will? Mm-hmm. Like, I am doing God's will. And then he says, open your eyes. He's so direct with them. He says, open your eyes to see what I'm really about. Mm-hmm. And I'm really about coming and meeting these people and meeting these people where they're at. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, loving on them, telling them who Jesus is. Now, I'm honest. I'm real about their sin. I know what's really going on. No one's hiding anything from Jesus. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm still coming mm-hmm. because I'm going to be here and I'm going to meet you. And the fruit of that, this is my favorite part, because we mm-hmm. said last week, Billy entered this, the theme of John is for us right now is belief. Mm-hmm. If you remember, we went all the way to the beginning or the end of the book, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And John writes this. He says, I wrote all of this that you would see these mm-hmm. signs so you would believe mm-hmm. that he's the Messiah. Mm-hmm. You would believe he's the Son of God. And I just want to read these because listen to how many times this happens. 39. Now many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of what the woman said, because she testified. Mm-hmm. And she said, this is everything that he did. Like she tells the whole story.
Right.
And then it says, so others came and stayed and many more believed. And then they told the woman, we don't just now believe because of what you do. We believe because we now see Jesus. Mm-hmm. The point of this is to show him Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's not actually, the point is not ultimately to say, here's your problems. Mm-hmm. Here's what you're missing. Mm-hmm. Here's why you Samaritans are missing it. While you're actually supposed to be in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Here's the three sins. If you fix these, everything's fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's you need Jesus, because she hadn't fixed all her sins Mm-mm. when Jesus started using her. She hadn't moved out yet.
Right.
She went right from Jesus mm-hmm. and started telling people, come see. She hadn't fixed her life. Not all the sin had been dealt with yet. She wasn't walking the perfect religious life even at that point, but her heart was being transformed by Jesus.
Is there such a thing?
And no, there's not. But we tell ourselves there is.
Well, sometimes I think we believe we've arrived.
Yes.
I'm there.
Yes.
I'm not there.
Yes. This is where agreeing gets me in trouble and not agreeing gets me in trouble. It's a very awkward situation. Yeah.
I'm not there.
Perfection is a false horizon.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
We used to go to, when I was a kid, we used to go to a sand dune, and it's 600 feet up. That's, and you know, it's up three and back two and up three and back two. And you go, okay, I got to get to the top. Mm-hmm. And you get to the top and it's all crud.
Oh. Wow.
I got farther to go.
Yes.
Oh, yes, of course. You didn't see.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think so. I said these are the two key questions. So I want to close with these questions.
Okay.
Because as you're processing the story, as we hear this, as you're talking about this in your grow groups, and I want you to think about this. Do you really believe? Because this is about belief, right? Mm-hmm. So what do we believe about Jesus? Do we really believe that there's no sin? There's nothing that I have done or could do that would stop Jesus from wanting me. Because that's one of the things Jesus is showing us. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter where you're from, your history, your past, your traditions, even if you're a heretic, which is how the Jews saw her, or all the sin that you've committed, or how others have rejected you. You believe that nothing that you do stops Jesus from wanting to reach out to you?
Oh, absolutely.
And I'd say we do, but do our actions show
right.
that? Because I think we start to hide from Jesus mm-hmm. when we're not sure if we really believe that.
Yep.
But then the next question, do we believe that God is willing to use us even when we're not perfect?
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Yeah, I do too. Because otherwise I wouldn't be here.
Neither would I.
Yeah.
So I think those are great.
You're compelled, but I give a second answer.
I guess I wouldn't either.
So I think those are great great pieces to also continue to be wrestling with. And the reason I want to ask those without answering them really mm-hmm. is yeah. because we know what the right Jesus answer is.
Right.
The Sunday school answer is yes.
Yeah.
But we're willing to self-reflect. Even when we're done watching this or done on Sunday or with your groups, reflect. Do I believe it enough that my actions show it, or am I hiding so from Jesus? Am I thinking I've got to get something fixed before I really fully give myself mm-hmm. to Jesus or follow him? Those are the right questions. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, you guys, for being a part of this. I loved it. I hope we can do this again. And I hope you guys have a great time wrestling through this in your life with Jesus as well. God bless.